This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, alien Sasquatch, and all things strange.
This is Daryl Sims, the alien hunter, and I'm at Strange Harbor. This is where you need to be. Keep listening, because it's happening right here.
This pilot, though, who flew Barack Obama during his 2008 presidential campaign, says UFOs are real, and he's seen one firsthand.
An unidentified object seen over the sky above the Rosedale area.
The shot today video that's got all of Texas talking, probably the whole country, from iReporter, who shot this on a cell phone near Stephenville, Texas. The UFO, according to witnesses, and the witnesses include local police and other public figures.
When several dozen residents looked up and saw a UFO more than once.
Three very mysterious shiny lights over Breckenridge have police and residents puzzled.
Tonight we have never before seen videotape of UFOs over Colorado.
If you noticed strange lights in the sky over the weekend, you aren't alone. KCTV5's Alan Shope went to Lee's Summit to get to the bottom of more than a dozen UFO sightings.
Never before seen footage of UFO sightings this year being shown at a conference in Pontefract.
Local police never definitively said who's to blame. Locals say it has to be something out of this world.
I'm taking a random picture, zoomed in, and there was a UFO.
Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, alien Sasquatch, all things strange.
Hey, this is Derek Randles with the Olympic Project, and you're listening to Strange Harbor.
Don't miss a single episode because strange things are going to happen.
This is Strange Harbor.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. We talk about UFOs, Sasquatch, near-death experience, conspiracies, ghosts, and all sorts of things. I'm Johnny Manson, and she is MUFON investigator Sherita Seuss.
Keeping it real with UFOs.
Our guest today, Mr. David Cottrell. Now, Mr. Cottrell, you're a clone?
Yes, that's correct.
I don't want to sound insensitive to this. I've never met anybody like you, so I don't know how to address that. Is there a proper way?
The first time it was referred to me was as a biosynthetic human being.
So you're kind of a reproduction of a human you?
And yes.
So where is the human you at right now?
Well, currently that person is in service with a group of the Greys called the Esasani. And he's very happy. He's doing what he wants to be doing. And he obviously struck an agreement, and I'm here.
How did this all come about? How did this start?
Well, I think that this is part of a treaty that the United States government made called the Greada Treaty. And they made this treaty with several different species at the same time. And it was to facilitate face-to-face contact and exchange of information. And so this is one of the ways, that the tried and true ways of managing that come together.
Now, is this part of that Galactic Federation, or is that something different?
It is a program, I believe, with the Galactic Federation. I know the Galactic Federation is here now currently and working to help with disclosure.
Did you hear about Professor, and this was just last week, Professor Ham Ashad, who served as the head of Israel's security space program for a few decades, and he received Israeli security awards 3 times, twice for confidential technological inventions, and he went public recently about the long-term involvement of Israel and the U.S. with that Galactic Federation, which is in alliance with various alien races, like you just said. His exact words that were published in the Jerusalem Post December 8th of this year: the UFOs have asked not to publish that they're here. Humanity's not ready for it yet. Trump was on the verge of revealing, but the aliens in the Galactic Federation are saying, wait, let people calm down first. They don't want to start a mass hysteria. They want to first make us sane and understanding. They've been waiting for humanity to evolve and reach a stage where we'll generally understand what space and spaceships are. There's an agreement between the U.S. government and the aliens. They signed a contract with us to do experiments here. They, too, are researching and trying to understand the whole fabric of the universe, and they want us as helpers. There's an underground base in the depths of Mars where their representatives are, and also our American astronauts. If I had to come up with what I'm saying today 5 years ago, I would have been hospitalized. Wherever I've gone with this in academia, they've said, the man has lost his mind. Today, they're already talking differently. I have nothing to lose. I have received my degrees and awards. I am respected in universities abroad, where the trend is also changing. Of course, our mainstream press isn't going to say anything about this. I'm surprised it was published in the Jerusalem Post, but anyway. It kind of ties into what you were just talking about.
The process, as I think the people will understand as we go through it more, there's a lot of... There's generally a lot of collateral issues and damage that goes on during this process. The process hasn't been moving forward as quickly as it had been planned originally. There have been some hiccups, but the disclosure now is being pushed at a much faster rate. And so part of that disclosure is, as I was saying before, being able to have face-to-face contact and also this exchange of information. I think currently the exchange of information part of that has kind of gotten away with itself, and that information isn't being shared as it should be. And so other steps are being taken to bring the disclosure forward further. So there are, it's kind of a broad statement, I think, what the Israeli person had mentioned, but to a degree that's true. The people who, some of the people who I speak with, they would like open face-to-face contact and this to move forward, but in order for that to happen, people have to be aware of the particulars. They have to understand that generally, for the average human being, coming into contact face-to-face with a gray, an Esasani person, you might have that passing out experience. And nobody wants to, you know, have people randomly falling down and hitting their heads or anything like that. So we have to be able to work through those particulars first so that we can all, you know, hang out together and benefit from one another.
So you being a clone, are you susceptible to common human weaknesses like addictions and stuff? I mean, we just had National Chocolate Covered Anything Day.
Oh, yeah, chocolate. I'm there with you. I am human. Therefore, nothing human is strange to me. And so as you kind of start thinking about that, this process will, I think, kind of unfurl itself, and people will realize how this is, there's going to be some common ground here that we can all find, and we can all seek our own, you know, each other's best interests.
Are you the only one who's gone through this exchange student program?
We're part of a special group of people, as I was telling you before, and it was established, I think, as per the Griotta Treaty. The details and the particulars are a little bit gray in that area because of the manner in which this has been managed, or mismanaged, I would say.
Laura Eisenhower has come out and kind of walked around the circuit a bit, the UFO circuit, claiming that her grandfather, President Eisenhower, signed this created treaty. And when I started looking it up online, it's like everybody knows about it. Has anybody ever seen it?
Yes, it was available in the early 70s for public consumption briefly, and then hidden. As most things apparently get to be, when you're being subdued, that's the best way to control someone, I think, is to keep that information away, and then they have to be the gateway to that information. So that's been a real problem for the American people over the last so many years, and I think that they can see that in the struggles that they've been living through. What we all really want is, you know, a strong constitution and to care for one another, and these things are being set aside for other reasons. As I was saying, the technology, for example, that we've had now for a good 50 years to be disseminated is not being disseminated. There's not a disc parked in everyone's driveway. I've been trained to fly what they call a Flugelrad. Okay, it's very, very simple to fly. The machine operates from AI, so it's artificially intelligent machine that you basically, it's foolproof. So these things should be available. We should be empowered with not only that, but only truthful knowledge as well, you know, about the world we live in and the universe we live in. Those kinds of things are going to confront us, and it's time now. And we can either confront them as captives, or we can confront them as free, strong people, do the right things.
You had said to me when we chatted, the Earth is going to go through a large disastrous issue. You weren't sure if that was something that was going to be man-made or perhaps climate change, but something like the magnetic pole change. Because of that, you were fairly certain the Esesani and the Greys would come to our rescue with ships.
Yeah. Many people of our tenure remember back in the 70s, and then there was quite a bit of the gray activity in the United States and I think around the world. During that time period, a lot of people were trained to do a rescue mission. So if there is catastrophe on this planet to a degree where you can't be saved in caves, as many people were in the last catastrophe, were saved underground. If that happens this time, and there's not a possibility of saving in that manner, then large ships will land, and the Greys and humans who are cooperating will facilitate a rescue. Will be helped.
Well, that's good news. We got a backup plan.
Right.
Yeah.
We can do a lot of that ourselves, I understand now, but it's always good to have friends.
You've actually seen a reptilian, right?
I have indeed. Twice.
How do you not, like, get overly afraid? I mean, I was afraid being surrounded by Bigfoots. I could just imagine if you see, you know, this reptilian there. I mean, how do you not, like, go through a panic attack?
No, I don't think that you can avoid that type of situation, unless, of course, that the particular reptilian person is being very kind and is trying to present himself in a nice way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll find that it's not that. It's basically, you know, look away if you're having a tummy issue.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, you can handle it. And these are things we can overcome as individuals. But you have to overcome it as an individual. You have to experience it a few times and then overcome that sickness and, you know, seasickness in your tummy from doing that. And I'll tell you that when you meet another sentient person who is not the same shape or what you're expecting, it does have a bit of a jolt, a bit of a shock on your psyche. And so people do tend to pass out, and as I was telling you before. So, and I assume that that's pretty much the same when a 9 or 12 or 14 foot reptilian person is around you. You will probably have a tendency to stare a bit, you know, before you pass out.
Well, they have a nasty reputation. I would think fear for my life would be...
Well, there's a lot of that with them, and you have to give them their history here. And look at the Atacama Lines. I think recently there's a gentleman who's explained that those are pulsar maps. There's a pulsar map on the Atacama Desert there, which indicates that space travelers came here and stamped that many years ago. And they were from Orion. And that Orion group apparently are Draco reptilians. The reptilians that are here underground apparently also use us for commodities. So that
food
time period of our history has to be at an end as much as possible. You know, getting over it and being friends with reptilians is not that hard if they're willing.
I've had other information that the reptilians are already here in our pole. They're underground, under the ice, in a heating vent. Have you heard that?
There are quite a few of them underground, they say. Those are the originals that have lived here, the original reptilians who feel as they own this planet. And I think we would have to give them that, considering the fact that their history is more established. It appears that they might have a better hold on it. It may very well be theirs. And so we have to cooperate in some ways, I would think. The time has come for that. And it's a tough situation, but it's something that we really kind of should face as a people. Let me give you an example. There are big feet out in the woods, but people don't want you to know that there's big feet out in the woods, because then you would want to defend yourself. You know, if you have an aggressive one coming at you, you cannot easily defend yourself. And that's just common sense. The thing with the reptilians as well, we are nothing but a commodity as long as we're that weak. So once we establish individual strong relations with those people and every other people, I think we'll do just fine. But first we have to get past the people within our ranks that are stopping us up at every measure. They're sabotaging our efforts to get along with other species. I'll give you an example. The Esesani people have this treaty. They've had this treaty going on for a very long time. There was a part in the history of the relationship where there was some killing at a base. Now, I was here to mitigate those types of problems. But I was misused. I was not placed in a position where I could mitigate the problem and perhaps save lives. So there's a lot of this over-censorship, this over-classification, this lying that our leaders are doing for us, that is really a miss. It's not good for us.
So what I'm getting here is that the reptilians are like Klingons. Is my shotgun going to take one down?
Well, I would think that it might, yes.
It'll slow them down?
Yes.
Okay, so they're at least a being that can be harmed. I mean, they don't have...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And one just has to be able to have the opportunity to defend himself or herself in that situation.
Well, they don't cloak themselves, right? I've never heard...
Oh, they
heard.
Do, yeah.
They do?
They indeed, they do. And people now have that technology as well. So it just occurs to me that, you know, if half of this breakaway folks, they all have this technology and they want to keep it amongst themselves so they can walk amongst us and do what they do, it occurs to me that we should all say, hey, that's enough of that. You guys share this around. Now, we know they all have this invisibility technology. They're displaying it on the Internet constantly now. This kind of thing needs to be more, we have to trust one another with these technologies and dispense them. They have to be out there for people to use, for our experiences to absorb, and it'll help us grow as people in this technology. I think the children in South Africa that were visited were told, do not become too technologed, is the word that their people told them. And that's a very good advice, I would think.
So it's the aliens that have the technology that they're not sharing, or it's us that has the technology?
It's us. We've been given the technology in this exchange process and program. And there's been a faction of the human species that wants to trumpet that stuff away and keep it for themselves.
Right.
They're being called the breakaway people at this point.
Yeah, why can the military's drones, fly across hundreds of miles and my drone only flies for 30 minutes and then I have to, recharge it?
Oh, indeed, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, you could put a little nuclear device in there. I'm sure it'll power it a little longer.
Oh, yeah.
The Flugelrad, when you push the stick forward, the land beneath you, it will shoot past you so fast, everything is a blur. And then you stop, and you're in a whole different location, and you don't even know where, you're at based on the land that you're looking at. So, the AI would have to reposition you. But the point is that this technology is out there. It's so amazing. You can fly it at 30,000 miles an hour, and the outside of the ship can become opaque so that you're sitting there, and you're basically just flying. You're sitting in a chair, but you're flying, holding the ball on the stick. And you can do any maneuvers you like. You can twist the ball to the right or the left or up. But the AI won't allow you to hurt yourself. Very wonderful technology. That's just another piece, just a small piece that's not being shared around. So there's a whole universe out there of people who are waiting, who are very excited to meet with us. And all we have to do, I think, right at this point, the best we can do for ourselves is to try to shorten those pitfalls, try to remove those things, those barriers that are those people who are keeping us from that information and who are keeping us from all being able to go out and with our families and in small groups through the universe, meeting, having relations with other species.
Has the Esasani given you specific instructions on how to tell the normal folks? Well, I don't know how normal we are, but those of us who want to know, have they said...
Well, my instruction comes from being here as a human. So I grew up here, and my experience is a little bit different than yours and most folks in the sense that I remember where I was before, I remember the process of being put here, and then I remember being born and everything since. So my memory doesn't have lapses in it in that sense, and so that is my training. My life here is what helps explain to me how to identify those folks amongst us. And I would say personally, my thought is that we have a great Constitution, a Bill of Rights, and a Declaration of Independence. And I think those three documents really set aside the American people as a very special group of people. The Esasani people, I can tell you, they enjoy that part of Americanism. That's one of the most important parts of Americanism to the Esasani people. And so they've been rather disappointed watching this process be dulled over the last few years.
I'm not sure exactly what the Assassini wants you to do. I'm still trying to wrap my head around creating you and putting you here.
I was predestined to work in the in this government and in the Secret Services there, and I did my stint there. But again, I think that was sabotage. And so the whole idea is to have, I think, people who recognize the real struggle behind the scenes and who can give a real practical perspective on which decisions might be more fair or less fair. So in doing it this way, it limits the collateral damage that the Assassini people and the humans would experience in a coming together. And this process has been done, as I was saying before, many times, and so this is just part of that process. So there's been an established contact chart, CE1 through 5, or contact experience 1 through 5. I think that there's been a new definition recently, it's CE6, and I think that basically describes and covers this type of furthering or progression of the disclosure. So this is a process or a mission, basically, to help people who are in a position right now who could cause themselves to disappear based on their decisions now, or they can be a really wonderful species in the solar in the universe. And I think that that's what the other species really want. I know that that's what the Sassani people really want. They have our best interests in mind, and they've been misrepresented. For them to have a proper representation, they need to have a human voice.
Do you believe to reach this understanding that we all need to be vibrating at a higher volume, that's what light workers are helping us to do? Do you have a sense of that?
Yeah, it's a self-choice. You know, that's the law of one and that information. And I do believe there is an older doctrine. I don't think that that's a necessity for a lot of people, but I think that that's what we really want to see, is the positive force in the universe. Those of us who make a positive force and who are a positive force are really the ones we want, that not just for ourselves but for others out there, and we would be a good influence and a good presence in the universe. Now, should we be a bunch of backwoods kind of unfocused folks? When we go out there, we might make a bad name for ourselves, and then, you know, that wouldn't be good for the rest of us either. So the idea is really that when we go out there in space, when we leave this planet, we should really be able to behave ourselves and act like adults and not cause too much problems as we go. At least at the start, we should give it time, I would think.
So are you actively assisting others to be more positive so that...
I'm a Christian person. I think that it's important to have a template, a spiritual template, in order to raise your vibrational level. I agree with that. And what I do is I also help experiencers. So a lot of people, they will have one or two abductions, or they will have some experience that they're not, they don't understand wholly, and they would like to have a more practical view of what actually happened or occurred to them. So I help people who have those questions.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. Our guest today, Dave Cottrell, who is a clone or a biosynthetic human being. Coming up, we're going to ask him about UFOs landing in his yard. What his neighbors think. Coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. And our guest today, David Cottrell, who happens to be the first clone I've ever met in Grays Harbor, actually the first clone I've ever met, period, that I'm aware of. The more sciencey word, a biosynthetic human being, since a lot of people nowadays like to think that there's some kind of science professionals. He was created by the alien race called the Assassini. Now, I understand you've had UFOs land in your yard.
Well, I flew a Flugelrad, and they landed that one at the school that I was a high school and that I was at. But you could say, yeah, I suppose I've had them land in my yard. I've had them land down the street.
What do your neighbors think of that?
Well, let's see. I explained to my neighbors, listen, I'm a bit of a ufologist. So mm-hmm. sometimes people, well, you'll see something funny perhaps. And so a couple months into it, we all looked out into my yard at the same time, my neighbors and I. We saw a 90-foot, it was a disc parked in my tree. So my neighbors, they never smiled or made any jokes about it, I can tell you that. I don't get called nutty. I think that people realize I'm telling the truth pretty quickly.
90 feet?
I think about a 90-foot disc, yeah, and it was parked there. And it saw us looking at it, and it, of course, was invisible. There was actually a black helicopter flying on the other side of it we were all looking at. It spooked the fellow inside, and so he lights it up, and it takes off in a streak of light, just like that. And we all saw it, but... Yeah, it just kind of goes to show that the people inside are just, you know, people as well, generally speaking.
Alien creatures, cryptids, humanoids, they don't all have the same emotional patterns that we do as human beings.
The baggage that we have.
Yeah, that's good.
I think you'll find that the other species have expanded abilities for consciousness and loving and caring, and just like humans as well, and also could carry those as well. So one of the things I witnessed when I was younger was a criminal alien who mm-hmm. came here. He came here so he could take something from someone, and he was here briefly, and they raided his home and they arrested him and whatnot. But it just goes to show that, you know, certain things are traded throughout the universe, and you can get those things, and if you're a commodity, or if there's commodities out there to be had, which may or may not be illegal, people will go to extreme lengths to do that. And so basically what he was a drug dealer who was here, and he was doing crimes, and they came and arrested him at his home, and so he didn't get away with it. The universe is a very complex place. There are every type of imaginable person and all shape and color, and you just have to take them as they come and be your own best friend as far as telling yourself what's right and who's safe. Those kinds of things. Having a strong constitution and some experience comes in handy.
Now, who arrested him? Was it human police?
It was our CIA.
Okay.
They pulled up in white vans, black BDUs, and they had M16s. And this was in 1979 or 8. And he can pass. That particular species can pass as a human with nothing more than a hoodie on. It's a commonality. Those kinds of things happen.
Now, where do these Esesani, you may have mentioned this, but where do they come from? Are they from here?
Well, the main dispatch was from the star system Reticulum. And so Zeta Reticulum.
Yeah.
And Tegeta is a sun there, and there are a few other planets there, and that's one of the main places where we had the main exchange, I think, is what's referred to.
And they gave the Lakota Indians a message?
Recently, I was requested that I come and speak at a conference for the Lakota Indians in South Dakota. I was told I would be assisted in that talk, so I went and I gave the talk. A disc showed up and stayed about 800 feet above the talk for 2 hours. And the message was not much more than that there wouldn't be an opportunity to be rescued in an underground situation. If it should come to that next time, it would be more of a rescue from a ship and people like myself dressed in a white clothing.
Are the Esesani, do they take applications? I mean, I know my mom would love to help out with some of the stuff that they're wanting to do and are doing. Do they just know people and pick out who they want, you know?
Many people are involved in this process and other processes, groups of people who live with us, like maybe perhaps your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many people are involved in their programs, or the genetic programs, which are, I think, just they're not a harmful, it's not a negative type of a program. It's actually there to assist. And so over the years, you know, they've been helping in that capacity. And your mother may very well be doing more than she knows. It has to do with our personal constitution and how awake we are to the things going on around us. How awake are we to the others around us who need our assistance, for example?
I call it downloaded, given information about technology. technological advanced mechanical items. One of them in the 70s was a magnetic train, underground train. Very specifically, even the locking mechanism and how the mechanics would turn this high magnetic device towards and away from the train to push it. Then I found out that actually exists now. It's underground. It's links cities like the Denver airport to Edwards Air Force Base. I mean, there's a huge underground system where these electromagnetic trains are being used.
I'd like to hit on that for a moment. There is more than just a huge underground system. The Earth is honeycombed, and there are so many large hollowed-out spaces. These kinds of things we should be more aware of. We live here. It's responsible to educate us on those things. But yeah, all that technology is being kept away and more. Many of this technology, much of the science behind the technology, is fairly simple. You know, I've seen people in physics class, you know, jump up screaming at the professor and leave, only to be followed by MIBs, men in black, hunting him down for, I don't know, arguing with the professor about misteaching us. So this information's just, you know, let's see how dumb we can cause the population to be by giving them the halide group, which is boride, fluoride, chloride, borane, chlorine, fluorine. When you need iodine, and the halide group will clog your neural tissue, let's poison the entire masses with the halide group, and then every other possible way that we can be allowed to poison them. We can fumigate you daily, and you won't even barely complain. We can tell you to cover your face when there's no real scientific reasons for doing this other than to harm yourself, and people will be more than happy to do these things. So I think once we gain back a little bit of our intellect, I would suggest that 20 to 40 of your IQ points, not yours, Sherry and John, but the general public's IQ points have been shaved.
A 2018 study came out of Norway. It showed that IQ is not just dropping across all of society uniformly or on average.
But now a new study says humans literally may be getting dumber.
A recent study suggests that our species has been getting dumber.
So if we could gain back a little bit of that, and it is possible to actually heal some of that.
The use it or lose it theory very much applies, and our IQ can fluctuate by as much as 20 points. Mm-hmm. And by using our brain and exercising our mind, we can actually change our IQ to a certain degree.
If we could start healing a little bit, gain back some of our personal strength, gain back some of our intellectual strength, I think we'd be doing just fine. You know, we could stop a lot of this. We just have to realize and put our foot down that, hey, you know, I never gave you the right to fumigate me. You never asked if you could fumigate me daily. And that's exactly what's happening from an airplane, for example. When we were younger, you could tell the difference between you knew what a contrail was, because they dissipate right behind the plane. And every once in a while, you'll see one dissipating behind a plane.
Right.
But these other things are not. They're fumigation. And so as long as we're going to allow that by our own people and other people, then, you know, we're not going to do well at all. First of all, I think we should probably step forward and stop some of these really inhumane practices that we're doing to infants, to ourselves, to our own children. One of the vetting processes for the CIA, Derek and John, is that they take you to the local water plant, and they have you stand there as a young man or woman in front of the fluoride tubes. And they'll say, well, we have something to do inside. And the other will stand there, they'll have a conversation about it, you know, and they just want to see how badly are you going to react to this. You know, you're going to say, well, you're poisoning your own kids. Yes. Well, you're poisoning yourself. Yes. Well, you don't mind. You're dumbing yourself down. Yep, no problem. And that's a vetting process that the Central Intelligence Agency has to put their people through. So I think that that's absolutely ridiculous. And some of the things that are going on behind the scenes, these people are going to scream their heads off, but it's only because they're as guilty as they come. So there's a lot of guilt, a lot of bad behavior, and it's time that that stopped. It's time that people like myself, who are making claims, are actually listened to, and instead of disregarded. When if someone says that they've been waterboarded on American soil, or that they've been tortured by their CIA or something like that, there should be a committee to work that out. And they'll tell you, oh, there is a committee. A lot of people will say, well, you just have to go through the process. Let me tell you, John and Sherry, that's not a possibility for most folks. So, and there are processes put in place that it's just that these processes are not workable. So once we start treating each other like human beings again, once we start overcoming these inhumanities that we do to one another, that will take us a long way to really doing better for ourselves and identifying those who have our best interests in mind as well.
I couldn't say it better. I mean, we need to be better to one another. We need to be better to the earth. We need to do things, but only at the edge of destruction do we move quickly.
Some of the most obvious things are being twisted for control measures. And so certain truths are being flayed out there, and they're not actually relevant to our best interests. In other words, certain truths are being displayed in order to control us. And I'll get, the COVID issue, for example, the death rate being extremely low. I've noticed how all the other sicknesses and whatnot have taken time off. And also, before, we used to have the news. We used to have the newspapers and where we could see the obituaries and where we could see what was going on in each town. And then as we got the internet, we still had the newspapers. We could still get that information. But I don't know if you'll check now, you'll notice that you can't verify those kinds of things now. There's no way to. All that access to that type of information has been nigh unfathomable. You cannot get to it. And so you're just expected to believe the things that you're told. And, when that's the case, when you can't know the real science and you can't, you can't stand with it because there's so much argument and subterfuge in the science. Many of my professors would mention that, there were things that they didn't feel comfortable teaching, but that they were required to teach as per their tenure. The truth is the truth, and we all deserve that. And as long as that's being kept from us, the folks that are doing that are going to have full control over you in every aspect of your life. You've got to break free from the misconceptions.
When you say that we don't know the science of this COVID,
we really do.
And I'm
there. And when the one doctor states that, hydroxychloroquine and zinc are the cure, then she should be listened to.
No, she shouldn't. She was a nutcase. There's specific things that you do with a virus. You can discover a new way to inject into the virus to stop the RNA from transcribing.
Sherry, if that was the case, over all these years that they've been trying to cure these different illnesses, they've been trying for 100 years for particular illnesses. Well, let's see, we have AIDS now. It's been going on for quite a long time.
And we're able to keep it in place.
Right.
We have medications that keep people from...
I think the point is there's not a vaccine for these things, and they've been trying to make vaccines for all of those things for many, many years. But yet, we're able to create a vaccine in under a year for this. The way I understand it is that would be entirely illegal as per the Nuremberg Code. So we can't just... Why would we go backwards to go forward?
Oh, we didn't go backwards. We went
really
forward.
Well, if we were to take a vaccine that was going to change our RNA and that we have doctors telling us will take us to our doom, quote-unquote, those folks who are gung-ho to get a vaccine, they will, they'll say, well, look at polio and what it's done for polio. Wonderful. I think that vaccines, and a lot of people think that vaccines are for outbreaks and for specific uses, but they're not just for random maintenance. And that's the faulty science there. Is that these aren't necessary. They're only being pushed on us.
Do you think the Esasani, do you know what they think of this whole COVID situation? I mean, are they able to predict these things, to cure these things? Are they just as helpless as we apparently are?
No, I don't think that anybody's helpless in this situation once you have the knowledge, once you understand what you're being put to. I believe that this is one of the largest scientific hoaxes, played on mankind in history. And there's a lot of that kind of thing going on these days. We have to take responsibility. If we don't stop the the misinformation and that kind of thing now, we're basically living the book 1984. Many of the terminology that we use today are terms right out of the Communist Manifesto, or these are terms that have been used for again and again against civilian populations for many, many years.
The 45 goals is read into the Congressional Record in 1963, yeah. Why wouldn't the Sasani, why wouldn't they just show up and say, hey, you guys are doing it wrong. Here, do it like this.
They did.
They're not allowed.
There's a crop circle right now.
They're not allowed to do direct intervention in that manner. They can't do it on a scale in that manner. They can put the information out there at this point, but at this point, it's up to us to be able to disseminate. And if we have that bad faction amongst us, we need to find out who is telling the truth and who is not, and really kind of stop this from happening. So freedom of speech and the Constitution provides for those things. As long as those things are being limited, your freedom of speech and the Constitution is being limited, then that's where you'll find the problem every time. And it's always the culprit as well. Those who are trying to limit those rights are always ending up being the culprits for their machinations, or call them conspiracies if you like.
I wanted to ask you a quick question. Very recently, there was a crop circle put down of a COVID virus, and it also had a piece of 15 times magnification and 100 times magnification. And in it were these proteins and amino acids and all this other stuff. And what the scientists are saying is that the crop circle was put down on this planet before the scientists knew what was inside of the COVID virus.
And it has... heard there's AIDS virus inside there as well sometimes.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that the components inside of this virus were dead on. And within weeks or days after this crop circle was put on this planet, the scientists came out with their papers stating that this was all correct. So...
So the aliens are trying to help us then, right?
They are trying to help us. If we just
if it's all legit.
Crop circles end up being technical information.
Well, this one was specifically how to take care of ourselves. It was a
how to eradicate the problem.
That's right. That's right. Awesome. So the scientists are using that information currently.
Yeah. See, and problem averted, just like that.
I've heard a lot of reports where people wake up and there's a reptilian there, or there's a gray there. I guess they could both be equally as jarring when you're in the presence of one. I mean, I guess I would be just as frightened. I would almost think that if I saw a reptilian, I would be a little more frightened because they seem to be bigger. They seem to be scarier, according to reports. And there's numerous reports of these beings, right?
Yes. Betty Hill and Barney described a quote-unquote scary or evil Nazi that they had seen when they were abducted. And at one point when I was with some folks, I saw one of those, and I think I understand what they meant when they said that. The person that I saw had a Nazi uniform on, and their face was, they had very sharp features, and the color was off. And I was looking at the person, and I was trying to figure out, well, this person couldn't walk down the street amongst us. There's something wrong with this person. And now as I look back, I think that that person was probably half reptilian. The face was very, very scary. He wouldn't be able to walk down the street amongst us without us knowing or being a lot of people being scared. But, yeah, he was basically an evil Nazi, you would call it that.
So did reptilians breed with humans? Is that how that happens there?
Yes, they do.
Now, would they do that just out of gratification, or were they, like, scientifically doing this or trying to...
Gratification. It's sex is another commodity throughout the universe, and humans are a commodity. more often than they should be. We end up being that way. Until we get our power, our legs underneath us in this area of space, we will be subject to a lot of danger.
Now, there have been past reports of where reptilians eat humans, though.
Yes, they do.
Do all reptilians, are they...
No, there are some friendly ones, and I think that we may get an opportunity, you may get an opportunity in the future to see or meet some friendly ones, and that would do a lot that would help a lot for their understanding the reptilian-type people. I can tell you that they will do things like come to a rural town and pull up and take all of the girls out of an elementary school. I can tell you that they will do things like that. And then the local people are then have to deal with that kind of an issue. Now, how they subdue that many parents or a bunch of parents that have just lost a daughter, I don't know. I don't know how they do that. Our people have the ability to subdue. So they come into towns, they will take an entire group of people, and then we're left and leave witnesses, and then we're left to mop that up. Often. So that kind of thing happens a lot. And again, we ought to be able to defend ourselves from these kinds of things, but we're sitting ducks. We're just helpless.
Why don't they just replicate us? They don't need us. I mean, if you can be cloned, I mean, they can make their own slave labor.
It's interesting. I think that must have to do with the soul and the spirit that is imbued within your body. I think there are some bodies out there that don't have a very good soul or spirit, and maybe even some that don't have. I hear that about half of the gray people have, they've bred that aspect out of their society, so they don't have souls to speak of. And the Sasani people are of a souled race, and they appreciate us, and they want to see us maintain our souls and our spirits, and rather than being destroyed as a group of people being destroyed in this area or used, overused.
We have run out of time, and we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today here on Strange
Harbor. Oh, it's been an honor, John and Sherry.
Is there a way we can contact you? Like, let's say a listener wants to ask you questions or has an experience to share or is an experiencer that's looking for what you have to offer. Is there a way for them to contact you?
Absolutely. You may try my email, which is reticulan300@yahoo.com. So R-E-T-I-C-U-L-A-N 300.
At right. Where?
At yahoo.com.
Yahoo, okay.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you'd like to learn more about David Cottrell, read the latest UFO sightings, Sasquatch reports, share your experience with us, or just yell at us for being tinfoil hat wearing whack jobs, log on to strangeharbor.net.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.